The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, Millennials.
Welcome back to The Toast and happy Monday. Hope everybody's having a great day. I know I am because
you like it?
Because I like it. Yeah, that's right.
That's right. Reason enough for me to be having a great day.
Jackie, that's beautiful.
Thanks, but I'm so glad you're having a great day. It's a beautiful day outside. It's a beautiful Monday. We had a beautiful weekend. I got lots of turdy-loo time.
You did.
And for that, I feel blessed.
Yeah, it was kind of like an amazing weekend. Mm-hmm. Not that this should be like revolutionary, but I didn't drink, which just makes the weekend so much longer.
Yeah.
When I woke up on Sunday, I thought it was Monday, and I'm like, but it wasn't. It was Sunday.
Yeah. And then we had a nice girly swirly day.
Yeah, we had girly swirly day Saturday and Sunday. Like, I came over to your house Saturday. I did go to Zabar's, just like a, you know, quick update from Friday's episode. I did get like a lot of backlash from the New York community being like, Eli's isn't Zabar's. Okay, so like Zabar's.
Oh my God, shut up.
Yeah, Zabar's is like the original one location on the Upper West Side. And then like different members of the Zabar's family opened like grocery stores, restaurants, okay. Eli's Marketplace, Eli's Essentials.
I do agree with that because there is like Zabar's and that's Zabar's. And like you were taken in by Eli's world.
Yeah.
But I think you can colloquially call it Zabar's without the pitchforks.
Yeah, without being attacked.
Yeah, I think that's a little extreme, but I do know what they're saying because Zabar's is different than like what we saw and what we were so taken by.
No, but like they're all like the same.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you brought me a bounty. I thought you were saying you got backlash from your haul because you did TikTok haul.
So I went to Zabar's before I went to Jackie's apartment on Saturday. Me and Ben just like – Ben also like classic New Yorker. I'm sure he's been to Zabar's, but – really, until I opened his eyes to, like, the magic of it, he was kind of, you know, moving through life, not even thinking about Zabar's. And now it's all we think about.
Yeah, how are you going to get to Zabar's? Where can you go that's close to a Zabar's? You can work in a trip to Zabar's.
You know, our lease is almost up, and, like, we are heavily thinking about moving near a Zabar's or an Eli's location. But on Saturday, like, I wanted to stock my house with delicious treats, but then I was also going to Jack's house, and I'm like, you know, this pregnant girly needs this delicious food. The bebe needs this delicious food, as we're calling him Larry, little Harry. He needs, Larry needs sourdough. Larry needs these cookies. So I went so hoard. I spent, and by the way, when I went to the Zabar's just during our doctor's appointments on Friday, I just picked up like a bagel and a bottle of water. Like I remember getting two bagels, two waters and a muffin, and it was $19. And I was like, I was unfazed by the $19. You know, in this climate, inflation, ice cream is $10. I was like, all right, I didn't even blink. I'm like, okay, 19. Then me and Ben are parading through the store for like the first 15 minutes. We are throwing everything in our cart. And then we get to these delicious, organic, homemade jams. And Ben decides to look at the price of something. I'm like, oh, yeah, we should probably, like, see what the vibe is here. Jam?
$30.
$30 for motherfucking jam. And that's when we kind of took everything in our cart and we're, like, looking at all the prices. And we did put some things back. But some of the essentials, I was like, you know what? We're paying for the experience. And I figured you know, maybe Jackie will pay me back for the stuff I'm getting her, and like it won't cost as much. She did not pay me back.
I'm kidding.
I would never. It was a gift.
Okay. It didn't occur to me, but I'm happy to pay you.
No, it was a gift. I stand by my gift. I'm not like that at all. I'm simply not. It was just very jarring. And so, you know, people on TikTok are always talking about Erewhon in LA. I've actually never been to an Erewhon, but it's similar. It's like an upscale grocery store. It's supposed to be like for the essentials. And like a water bottle is $15. And I just figured that those people need to know about Zabar's, where a jam is $30 and a box of cookies is $25.
Yeah, but I feel like I've been to an Erewhon before, and I do feel as though you're kind of paying for the name and the experience and like some hoity-toity like value set, whereas at Zabar's like you're paying for a loaf of bread, like you're paying for sustenance and you're getting food. I feel like at Erewhon you're not getting food, you're just getting vibes.
That's true. I have to say though, I really can't blame a business owner for hiking their prices up during this economy. Like if anything, it's their right. And you know what? I felt good about supporting the economy. Like I'm just trying to put a positive spin on it, you know?
Yeah, no, and I've been loving my Bounty. I had some bread this morning. I had sourdough and eggs.
How good is that bread?
So good. It's like really inspired me to want to make more sandwiches. I actually was going to do like a call out on my IG story. Like, what are some good sandwiches for pregnant ladies? Because all the good ones we can't eat. Like a turkey sandwich.
Right, like with deli meats. You know? Oh, that sucks.
So I need to get creative and make some sandwiches before the bread goes bad.
Yeah, I had a sandwich last night too, a delicious grilled cheese. I don't really love, that's what I was saying to Ben. I don't really love sandwiches. That's because I don't really like sweaty meats. And most people will have like a turkey sandwich, a pastrami sandwich. I don't like, what other sandwiches are there? I pretty much eat peanut butter and jelly and grilled cheese, which is like kids' menu.
I like a tuna sandwich, can't have it.
Hate.
But yeah, no, that's why you need to like have a caprese or something.
Ugh.
I know.
So I like love the concept of sandwiches. Like I think if somebody were to be like, let's have sandwiches, I would say, yes, let's. But in actuality, in execution, I don't really like know what sandwiches are there for me.
Why can't you have a turkey sandwich? You love turkey.
I do love deli turkey, like that you can like roll up and just pop in your mouth, but not like in a sandwich.
Well, that's because you don't like lettuce and
I don't like the accoutrement.
And you need it. You can't just have turkey on bread. It's too dry.
Right, you need mustard, lettuce, pickles.
Yeah. And you don't fuck with any of those things.
I do not.
That's why you don't
like
it.
You see this predicament I found myself in with my big loaf of sourdough.
Yeah, but I think you'll find your way out.
One thing about me, like, I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah, she perseveres, that turdy.
And then speaking of perseverance, something really kind of difficult that I experienced this weekend that was really hard for me. On Sunday, I woke up alone. Ben was golfing, whatever. And I was like, you know what? I was bored. So I'm gonna take myself out to lunch. And I brought my Kindle and I was like so excited. And I was going to your house afterwards. So I figured I really needed to bring Theo with me because I didn't want to leave Theo home alone all day. And he should be able to see Bruce whenever he wants. Yeah. Like,
so guys.
I took Theo to lunch with me at a restaurant that I always see dogs at. So I know it's dog friendly. They didn't give me shit at all. They were totally nice. But my God, Theo is not a restaurant dog. I see like other dogs in restaurants and they're just laying at the owner's feet, like sleeping, being so sweet. Theo did not sit for one moment. There actually came a point he was on the leash under the table. I was like trying to just keep him under there. There was one point where he fully barked and I was I was embarazado in the actual meeting. Oh no. The actual meeting is pregnant. In the English meeting.
Yeah. I can imagine. Embarazado. That's humiliating.
He didn't stop.
That your boy did that to you.
He was jumping up on the table. So then I like put him in my lap and I was like, sit down. And then the lady came over. She's like, I'm really sorry. You can't have the dog up on the booth. And I'm like, you know what? That's fair. That's quite literally disgusting. So I put him back on the floor. I ate my lunch so rushed. I didn't even get to read. I was eating my wrap with one hand and like caressing Theo with the other, giving him little bits of lettuce so he would just shut up. And I don't know at what point, like, is it either you, like, have a dog fit for restaurants or you don't? Is it something that they learn?
Well, my theory was that it comes with age. Like, he's just a little too young and excited to be in a restaurant. But I think some of the older dogs can handle it better. But I also think that there are just dogs that are trained for that sort of environment. And Theo's not.
No, and there are also just some dogs who aren't, like, hungry dogs. Like, the reason why Theo was being so nuts was because he was hungry. Like, Theo could have literally accidentally gotten into his entire 15-pound bag of kibble, and he'd still be hungry afterwards. Like,
that's he doesn't my say Streisand. No to food.
Yeah, he doesn't say no to food. And I don't think all dogs are like that. I think some dogs, like, eat, and they're good. And then, I don't know. You know, they don't.
I don't think so.
Just do all dogs literally spend all day, every trying ounce of their food. Brain power, looking for food?
Maybe, like, all dogs except, like, chihuahuas. They don't have, like, that much space, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not the chihuahuas who are chill at the restaurant, by the way.
You know, the last time I went, that really inspired me. I saw this enormous golden doodle just, like, chilling.
Damn. I don't know what it is. Maybe people could give you tips. I personally have been thinking about, and I'm not going to do it because, like, because I have a baby, so I think it's really silly, but I'm kind of loving, like, dog strollers. Like, when I see someone with a stroller for their dog, I'm so jealous. Like, I know that the Streisand would love it, but, like, how can I finagle, like, a real stroller and a dog stroller?
No, you can't. No, I'm sure they have, like, duos.
Yeah, I'm sure they do, but also Streisand usually goes in the undercarriage of the stroller, and he likes that, but I usually just don't walk with him and the stroller because it's a mess. But I feel like if you got Theo, like, a little houseboat for himself, then, like...
Theo loves to walk.
Oh, he loves to walk. See, Stry doesn't like to use those little legs.
No, he cries when he walks. He's like, Mom, can we go back to bed?
Yeah, where's, like, the eating pad? He just, like, wants to be picked up. Yeah. No, he's literally, like, meant for a stroller.
By the way that you feel about, like, dog strollers is the way that I've started to feel. I was having this conversation with Ben, and he was like, those are disgusting. I can't believe... I think that leashes for kids is the smartest idea. And they're not leashes. It's not like a collar around the kid's neck.
Yeah, it's like a harness.
It's like a tether. Yeah, it's like a backpack. Because when I have such sympathy for, like, moms in the streets who have, like, a stroller and then two toddlers, and the toddlers are running ahead. And, you know, there's cars, there's streetlights, there's pedestrian, like, laws that kids don't know about. I don't know if I'm gonna get canceled, but, like, if and when I become a mom, like, I will be tethering the shit out of my kids to my hips. They can't be running around these streets.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad idea either. It's good for the mom and it's good for the kids, and as long as it's not around their neck, like, it's right. Either like a backpack that you clip onto or something.
Yeah,
and I do see the logic in it as well.
No, I think that, like, kid leashes need to be rebranded, because whoever gave them the name leash, it's like, what, you're going to treat a human like a dog? I get it. But there is enormous benefits. Every day I leave the house, I see someone, I'm like, you know, you need a leash. Like, when you have a stroller and, like, your job is the stroller, but then you have two little toddlers, like, and the kids love to just run ahead. No.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's necessary if you live in the suburbs, but, like, when I see kids walking these mean streets of Manhattan, it's so busy, anything can go wrong, all it takes is a second. I think I'm gonna go on Shark Tank and I'm gonna start, like, a business, but we're kind of taking back the power.
Need a new name.
Tethers. Is tether bad? Like, your children should be tethered to you.
Yeah, I think tether is good.
Tether kid.
You're a tether kid. You should have been a tether kid.
I was the exact type of kid who needed to be tethered, and I didn't even live in the city when I was at my, like, height of.
But it's also good energy. For, like, when you're taking your kids to the mall or, like, to the airport, yep. Like, any concert.
Concert. No,
honestly, we should use it, like, for friends, like the buddy system. Like, oh, me and you are going to a concert and we don't want to get separated. Let's tether ourselves.
I completely agree. Let's.
Wow.
Makes you think.
Makes you think. Just a billion-dollar idea on a Monday morning.
Right. And that's the kind of... ingenuity you can come to expect here at The Toast.
Yeah, and we never make any of these ideas come to fruition, so they're kind of like open IPs, and you could pick one up and make it your own at any time, and we'll just be happy to enjoy the product that we dreamed of.
No, and a percentage in royalty. We're not stupid.
Oh, really? How can we ensure that? No, we're just asking.
Toasters will give us. The toasters, whatever toaster one of these days decides to take on one of the ideas we spout here at The Toast, they will give 1% to us. And then when it becomes a multi-billion-dollar company, we'll just be, like, raking in our 1% in Turks and Caicos.
Okay, so 1% for you, 1% for me?
Two each. 2.5 each.
And then one for Bryce, one for Streisand, because we couldn't do it without them. Also, they literally inspired this idea.
Yeah, but they literally don't have bank accounts, so I'm not about to, like, give an honorary percentage to a dog when that percentage could be mine.
Yeah, Bruno lost all his money in crypto, and he's, like, not been okay ever since.
I've noticed a shift. I didn't realize he was going through that.
Yeah, he is. So now he just has to, like, come to me and do his chores, and it's just, things are different for him. He can't take Magnolia to the Maldives whenever he wants.
You know, I think it's actually good. He was like flying a little too high.
100%. Every day asked me for $5,000 to take Knowles to the Maldives. I'm like, what the fuck do you guys do there?
You say, Bruno, I haven't even been to the Maldives.
Literally.
So let's talk shop. Let's talk what's going on. Let's talk what's happening on this episode and what's happening this week.
Okay.
So I know that you are like using your bed rest for good. You are watching The Real Housewives of New Jersey. And I think we should do like a full recap. We haven't been keeping up with this season. I have like very late though. And I did skip like 3 episodes because I just couldn't.
Yeah.
We have... Let's do that in the TV recap.
Okay, because I am about halfway through the season. I'm in Ireland. They're on their trip.
It was a dark trip.
Yeah. I guess they just finished their trip. The season is so crazy. I'm glad to be watching it all together, though, because, like, I don't have that many thoughts episodically. Like, I'm just enjoying it. And I also love the women. I also love the way that they've built the cast now where it's, like, we have our core cast, but we have, like, probably double the amount of people and just, like, friends of. And so when we go on a trip, there's just, like, so many people and personalities, and it's not, like, the same. We do wind up having the same conversations at every meal about how Rachel Fuda is a rat and Margaret has an arsenal. Every single meal we talk about Margaret's arsenal. But other than that, it's, like, nice to see, like, just fresh. It's a cool dynamic. It's not just the same five people. Like, Jackie's there, and they don't have to do the most, but they add a little something. So I'm really enjoying the season.
So we'll do that in TV recap, and then I also want to talk about a show that I watched that a lot of people recommended. I'm only on episode 3. It's called Love and Death on HBO Max, and I think you would love it, and I want to talk about it in TV recap.
Okay, I'll add it to my content plate. Is it depressing?
That's a good question. It's like, it's not.
Okay, then great.
But it's not like uplifting.
No, I don't need it to be Ted Lasso. I just feel like I always go to watch a show, especially like fictional drama shows, and like that every single one is depressing. Like intentionally set out to depress me. And I don't need uplifting nonsense. I just like want a regular fucking show.
So we'll do that. And then this week, I got my schedule all together over the weekend. I'm excited. So today we're doing audio only. If you're on YouTube, apologies. Audio only Jackson Claude. And then we're also doing audio only Jackson Claude on Thursday because we, you know, had the foresight to realize Wednesday night is Vanderpump Rules. Mm-hmm. And so we need to be together for the recap on Thursday. And then we're also going to be together on Friday because Friday is just like a special day for us. So Monday, Thursday, Friday is audio only.
Fridays
Jackson
in
Claude.
General are special. You're making it seem like we have like a big thing on Friday.
Oh no, just like you and I have like a deep connection to the day Friday.
The day of the fry, yeah.
Exactly. And then for Tuesday, Wednesday, we could have still done audio only, but you know me, like IT department has to get a video up. So tomorrow we have just a check-in with Taylor Strecker, which I'm really excited to do because she's just been like traveling on tour with Stassi. So we'll like get the tea, and she's just like a great pop culture girl. I loved, and the Toasters love her. Like that, nothing brings me more joy than like a regular, degular kind of one of our go-to fill-ins who people love. Like Margot, Ben, and Taylor Strecker, I know like we're not going to get hate for, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then Wednesday, we have Joey Camasta coming back, which honestly, I didn't realize how much of a movement there was within the Toaster community to bring Joey back. Joey came on a year ago during your maternity leave. And then I think he was on like a few years before that, just with you and I as a guest. And he was dazzled everyone. And he has this new life, like this new career at Barstool that has really just given him like a new audience. And I think the Toasters are going to love the episode. I mean, I haven't recorded it yet, but I just have a feeling it's going to be great. And they were so happy that Joey's coming back.
The comments really for Joey were crazy.
Crazy, which makes me I mean, the last time he came on, he really was, when he told the story about shitting his pants in the Uber.
Mal sashimi.
If you haven't heard that episode, like, I highly suggest going back to last maternity leave. It was what, May?
February? March.
March? No, because... Yeah.
We took off February. Like, we took off like from February to March. So it would have been like late March or April.
Go look the 2022 episode with Joey Camasta. It's, if you are unfamiliar with his work, in preparation for Wednesday. So I feel really good about where the schedule is at this week. I feel good that like you're going to be here, but you're also going to get like, you know, a couple of days off to just relax and chill and eat sourdough sandwiches.
Literally to eat sandwiches.
So I feel good.
I feel good that you feel good. It's a good balance of Jackson Claude and also like Claude thirsting out in the studio on camera being the snatcher, which she has to do. Like, she looks great and you got to see her.
And I forgot to tell you this, but like Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night of this week. Oh, that's literally today. Tonight, tomorrow, and the day after. I have plans to get dressed and stay alert all 3 nights at 3 Taylor frequented restaurants.
Do you know that Wednesday night you have plans with Margot?
Ashray?
Yeah. She was telling me you guys were going to a concert. And I was like, oh, I know everything about Claudia's schedule. And she hasn't mentioned it. Because I know your schedule.
Oh, shit.
I figured you forgot because I hadn't heard about it.
Oh, shit. Did she get tickets?
Yes, she said. Like, I asked her what she was doing this week. And, like, that's what she's doing on Wednesday. She's hanging out with you.
Oh, fuck me in the ass.
What plans did you make?
I was going to go to dinner with this guy, Blake. I wonder if he listens to The Toast. Who Ben knows through Spritz. And Ben was just like, you'll really like this guy. Like, you guys are very similar. He, like, loves Housewives. And then I went to his Instagram and, like, all of his pictures are just hanging out with different housewives. So I was like, I have to meet this guy. But shit, I think I might have to reschedule. I forgot I had concert tickets.
Or maybe you could like do both, dinner before the show or something.
Yeah. Shit. Oh, I have to talk to Ben. Ben hates when I'm the worst with my calendar. I didn't realize it was June 7th already. Yes, me and Margot had concert tickets. I totally forgot.
Yeah, I figured you forgot because it just sounded
and
so...
You had dinner with her last night and she was talking about it like the plans were on.
Yeah, because I was asking her like what she has coming up this week. We had pulled brisket sandwiches together.
You did?
Yeah, we did.
How was it? I've been telling Jackie because I got her these brioche hamburger buns from Zabar's.
All we talk about honestly, is sandwiches.
I know. But and by the way, Friday's episode being called Sandwich Slut, like today's episode should have been called Sandwich Slut. I put in our cart these brioche hamburger buns and I was like, you know what? I wasn't sure who they were going to be for. And honestly, my price, like my bill was already so high, I couldn't take two. I'm like, you know what? I'll give these to Jackie. And it's been the biggest regret of my life. But she was like, I want to make a sandwich with the brioche buns. What should I do? And I'm like, it's such a sandwich because it's such a bread for like a wet kind of saucy meat. That I thought pulled brisket. So you did it. How was it?
It was good, but I actually didn't wind up using your buns even because the buns from the place that you told me to order the brisket from were like perfectly good. And so I just didn't rearrange. So I still have the buns.
Do you have any extra brisket?
No.
Shit.
Yeah. But I could give you the buns. I still haven't opened them.
No, like they're for you. And I want you to enjoy them. Like it would make me happier if you would just eat them.
Yeah. I need a sloppy Joe.
Yes, you do. Should I have Ben make you some and I'll bring it over?
Yes, that's what.
Well, actually, not to like ruin a surprise, but like me and Ben defrosted beef and I was going to like make a vat of chili and bring it to you. And the second we defrosted the meat, Ben opened the pack and it smelled like raw eggs. Like it was like a bad thing of meat.
Oh my God.
So that was like the plan was kind of aborted.
I really appreciate the effort. Just only at Turdy's house do those things happen.
100%.
Something about your kitchen is cursed. That's another reason why you have to move.
No, I know.
I think there's like a rogue element in your kitchen that goes around like fucking but with I
think
your food.
But I think that rogue element follows me from apartment to apartment because all of my kitchens and all the apartments I've ever lived in, I am unable to properly cook something. So it's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me, not the kitchen.
Like there's a little bit of like education that goes into like meat handling and stuff, you know, like temperatures.
But it was Ben. It wasn't me. I was literally sitting on the couch.
Yeah, but like when the meat arrived, whenever you bought it,
what? Directly in the freezer.
Oh.
I don't fuck around with meat.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I totally forgot about this concert.
You need to go to a meat education class.
I need to go to meatspin.com.
You do.
I think that's what I need to do.
You do.
I think that's what I need to do. This concert just really like threw a loop through my whole week. I was supposed to get dressed and say alert.
I mean, you don't have to go.
No, like Margot bought tickets and I told her I wanted to go. And it's, do you know who Noah Kahan is?
Yeah, Stick Season.
And I love Vermont, but it's the season of the and he's like really good. And I've actually been listening to his album a lot. If I get too close, like I should go. And like, this, I don't know if I told you this, but like, you know how this is my year of yes, which by the way, I'm kind of crushing. Do you agree?
Yeah.
This is also like my summer of concerts. Like I love concerts and I should just go.
Oh, that's nice. I love a summer of concerts. I literally used to go to a concert every 3 days, like before COVID.
It's so fun.
Yeah. It's so fun.
I'm going to go. I'm going to have to tell Ben to reschedule the dinner. Blake, if you're hearing this, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. You could always do another dinner. Like it's just Noah can't be rescheduled.
I know. I don't think Blake lives here. That's the thing. I think he, like, came to town for a few days.
Oh, maybe a lunch?
I'll try and make it work. Yeah, maybe a lunch. I love a lunch.
Yeah, lunch is good.
Lunch is really good.
Just don't bring Theo.
100%. Lesson learned.
Okay, well, I feel like now we could get into the stories.
If we must.
If we wanted to.
And I do. Do you?
Yeah, sure.
Jackie.
There means...
Do you?
What's that? What ad is that?
I don't want to say the brand, but probably a year ago, we got like a six ad buy from like a very prestigious brand, and their copy was just like a little cringe. It was like, do you? And I couldn't say it.
I'm trying to remember what brand it was.
I'm not gonna forsake them on this platform.
And it was just really hard for us to not say,
because they supported us.
It's not hard. It's just hard for us to not say like, do you do da do?
Do da do?
Like,
no, I was like, do you?
It's a trick.
It was a tongue twister.
It was. Well, I look forward to seeing what the brands have cooked up for us today. And without further ado about whether or not you do you, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
Today's episode is brought to you by Skylight Frames, just in time for Father's Day. With Father's Day coming up, are you ready to give the best gift ever? Well, give the Skylight Digital Photo Frame. It brings joy on a daily basis. Watching the photos cycle and seeing new ones come in is a thrill. If you're not able to visit your dad much, it's even more of a reason that he'll love the gift of a Skylight Frame. It's a touchscreen photo frame that you can email photos to, and they will appear in seconds, no matter where you are, so dad can see your favorite moments. He'll love it. I feel like this is such a dad gift. And what's so great about it, it's really, even though it's like, you know, a digital photo frame, it's really not hard to set up. Like, even the least tech savvy person can figure it out. And then you, the kid, can take care of populating the photos from your phone no matter where you are. It's a great way to feel close to those that you love, especially when you're far away, and it's a gift that the whole family can enjoy. Anyone can send photos to the frame anytime, anywhere, from wherever they are. It's a gift that keeps family members actively in touch. Besides displaying wonderful photos, you're also gifting a gorgeous frame that adds a beautiful touch to any home. They have a 10-inch or a 15-inch touchscreen, and it's so fun to swipe through the photos and use the tap, and you can even tap the heart button to let the sender know that the photo is special to them. So it's interactive and it's fun to use. They have a 100% satisfaction guarantee. If dad doesn't love his Skylight frame, they'll offer you a full refund. You could preload it with favorite photos for a special Father's Day gift. Surprise him with photos that he didn't even know you had with a special gift mode feature. Now is a special Father's Day offer. Get 10% off. That's up to $30 off your frame when you go to skylightframe.com/toast to get 10% off, up to $30 off your purchase of a Skylight frame. When you go to skylightframe.com/toast, that's skylightframe.com/toast. Today's episode is also brought to you by Lululemon. Specifically, Lululemon shorts. They were made to stretch, flex, and support the infinite ways of working out, giving you the courage to leap into something totally new and totally unexpected. So they have fabulous shorts at Lululemon, just in time for, you know, sweaty crotch season, which is... it's not even upon us. It's here, you guys, and you got to be prepared. Some of our favorite shorts from Lululemon include the Hottie Hot short, which is the short with a comfortable range of motion and a flattering fit. They allow you to max your stride so you can move freely with confidence. They also have the Wonder Train short, which I love. They're a short with supportive stretch that also keeps you dry. So it's powered by Everlux fabric. The Wonder Train collection manages heat and sweat so you stay comfortable and stay focused. The material is sweat wicking and quick drying, which is so important in these extremely toxic, extremely warm times. And they have great shorts for women, of course, but they also have great shorts for men. So either as a Father's Day gift or if the man in your life is kind of struggling during these warm weather times with like a sweaty undercarriage, check out the Pacebreaker short. It's a versatile short that's up to any challenge. The ultra lightweight fabric means you can train, move, and stretch how you want without the baggage. Each pair of Pacebreaker shorts is designed to wick away moisture, so all that's left is your intention. Secure storage means you can keep things close without feeling them bounce around, if you catch my drift. So all these shorts are available at lululemon.com. Lululemon is a brand that you can trust when it comes to summer wear, when it comes to athleisure and workout clothes. So get into the Lululemon shorts at lululemon.com. That's lululemon.com.
Thanks, Turdy Lou.
Lemon, it's Wednesday.
Okay, so let's get into the stories. First story broke kind of at the end of last week, but Natalie Portman and her husband Benjamin Millepied are fighting for their marriage amid his affair with a 25-year-old. Okay, this is like kind of crazy, and I can't believe like we know what's going on.
She's so like private. I honestly couldn't even tell you the name of her husband before. I
didn't know she was married.
Yeah.
Didn't know any of this. But Natalie Portman and her ballet dancer husband are battling.
Oh, how black swan of her.
I know. Are battling to save their marriage after she discovered that he had an affair with a 25-year-old woman, sources tell Page Six. They're told the pair, who married in 2012, separated last year but managed to work through their relationship woes. Now their marriage has once again been rocked by revelations that he cheated. New photographs from France suggest that the former ballet principal dancer has been spending time with glamorous young climate activist Camille Etienne.
Greta?
Not Greta. Friend of Greta. F-O-G.
F-O-G.
A source told Page Six that they have not split and are trying to work things out. Ben is doing everything he can to get Natalie to forgive him. He loves her and their family. So they're like working through this. But I guess
how old is Natalie Portman?
She is... I guess I could Google.
Because I have a thought, but I just need to know her age.
41.
Okay. And I'm assuming he's like around a similar age.
Let me just confirm. Millipede age. 45.
Okay. So I really do believe that like people in relationships can like get through infidelity. I think that like it's really hard, but I definitely respect anyone who tries to. But there's something different about like having an affair versus having an affair with a woman 20 years younger than you. Like, first of all, it's gross. Second of all, like, I just think it's like a even more depraved level of affair to go with someone like so young and impressionable. And I don't think that I would be able to work through this is kind of my point.
Interesting. I mean,
like her being so young makes it literally so much worse.
Yeah. I don't know that I would be able to either, but actually this was a conversation on Real Housewives of New Jersey in the episode I was just watching, because Jen Fessler like took a break from her husband because he had an affair, and then they separated and they got back together. And of course, like Jennifer Aiden, and the women made like strong cases for like you can work through it. But I agree. Like, yeah. Something about this, I would say, get the fuck out of my face.
Right. Like there are certain affairs that relationships like can't come back from, like kind of like, you know, Tom and Raquel, like it being the wife's best friend, like that takes it to another level. So like, okay, like fucking somebody at work, like that's kind of like the best, if you know, like just a random, when it's somebody like in your circle, like a friend or a neighbor, like that takes it to another level. And I think going with somebody 20 years younger than you adds so much more insult to injury. It's so disgusting. And I think it shows like a person, like a characteristic in a person I wouldn't want to be married to, you know?
Yeah. No, you make a very good point. It is different.
It's disgusting.
It's like you're looking for something that
you're never going to find.
That you're never going to find, is no longer there, is no longer like who you are. And if that's like what you want to do with your life, then this life is never going to be for you.
Right, because the whole point of a marriage with, you know, with an equal is that you grow old together. Mm-hmm. So if you're seeking and chasing youth, then we have nothing to discuss anymore, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this is disgusting. And the way, like, I hate this man, and I had quite literally never heard his name. Like, good for Natalie for trying to make it work. It's clear that, like, she's committed to making her marriage work. This isn't the first time that they've experienced, like, a break or whatever. So I commend the effort, but, like, I think some things are unforgivable. And I'm not saying that infidelity is always unforgivable. Like, I do think people can work through them. You have to be like extremely strong.
Yeah.
But it's reminding me a lot of the show that I'm watching, Love and Death, which is all about affairs.
Oh, interesting. So yeah. Do you feel more passionately about it because of the show?
No, because in the show, like, you kind of become obsessed with the two people having an affair. You know, you're like, yes.
Toxic.
It's so fucked up. But like in that situation, the people having an affair, like they all know each other. So it's like a friend sleeping with a friend's husband, which is another level of disgust.
Yeah, I agree. This makes it worse. And I just can't believe that we know this level of information about someone who's like really so private. I guess it's like those French photographs.
That like, it's always like the Daily Mail out here telling us things we really shouldn't know.
Yeah, like it's giving Dominic West and Lily James.
That was still such a crazy time in American history that not enough people, like, really cared about.
I kind of ship now with a little hindsight.
No, that's the thing. That's the thing about Downton Abbey, is that once a character appears on Downton Abbey, they automatically become my favorite character. And he was in the most recent movie. And when I tell you there was not an actor on this planet I disliked more than Dominic West, because his character on The Affair was the worst.
The worst.
And then he did that Lily James thing. I was like, this guy's fucking disgusting. And then he went on The Crown, and then he went on Downton Abbey, and I kind of am obsessed.
Yeah, also The Crown. Even though he played Prince Charles, like, he did a really good job with the show, and he just became a part of the cast and the history, and, like, yeah, I turned a corner.
Is he on the final season, or they go to an older Charles now?
I don't know.
I feel like he is, because this season is, like, about Diana's death.
Yeah, but it's also, like, William and Kate. Have you been seeing all those images?
Oh, yes, I have. Yes, yes, yes. It has to be someone older. Yeah. Even they can make him look older.
I know, but they like to graduate.
That's, like, my favorite and least favorite thing about The Crown. That, like, you fall in love. Like, the way I fucking loved Olivia Colman as the queen. And this new girl is not doing it for me. Most of the time when they replace someone you love, like, you still fall in love with the next person. Like, they really do a very good job. But Olivia Colman was a tough loss for me.
I didn't feel as strongly about Olivia Colman. I liked Claire Foy. And I do feel like Imelda Staunton, who's the new queen, like, she's getting a lot of hate.
And is she?
Well, yeah. She got, like, people, because she's also from Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings or something. And so
she's, like, too recognizable. People as, like, can't her
see
iconic.
Her as something else. And she's playing the queen in her flop era. And I just think the odds are stacked against her. And I want to support her.
That's true. But I remember, like, loving Claire Foy when I first started watching The Crown. And you were like, by the way, I was, like, binging it late. You were like, the next two seasons, she's not in. Like, they do this thing where they, you know, cycle out characters. And I was so upset. And then immediately I loved Olivia Colman. So it's like, I'm open to loving, but she is not doing it for me.
Okay. Okay. Well, I don't know if she's, I feel like she's in the next one too.
Even Philip, like, I did not want to give up on Matt Smith. Like, but the next guy they got, I'm like, you know what?
He's Tobias good. Menzies was good. And then also, you know, the guy from Game of Thrones, Shame.
Oh, excellent.
The Shamer, he's excellent.
Shame. But that, by the way, that's like another, oh no. In Ted Lasso, Rebecca's assistant.
You know Rebecca's the Shame woman.
Oh!
Right?
I didn't know that.
Wait,
what? No, she's not.
No, Claudia, I think she is.
She was pulled from the West End. She's like a Broadway, London girl.
Claudia, I'm pretty sure she is the woman. Yeah, Google it. You're at your computer.
No, I believe you. I believe you.
No, you have to see her in her Shame garb.
Okay, hold on, hold on. Rebecca Waddingham. Oh, no, not Rebecca. What's her name? Hannah. Waddingham. Yeah. Shame.
Actress, Game of Thrones.
Oh! Oh my god, it's literally her. I don't believe. Oh my god, okay.
That changes things.
Well, what I was going to say about Ted Lasso is her assistant, like that, you know, funny British chubby guy, he's Sprout.
Yes.
From
Downton Abbey. Yeah.
I just love this little circle of like British characters, you know?
Yeah, love Sprout.
I cannot believe that Rebecca is Shame.
Uh-huh.
That this is like as mind-blowing to me when I found out that Tom Wamsgam is Mr. Darcy.
Yeah, I agree.
Wow, her versatility is unmatched.
Unmatched.
Well, I mean, that woman was fucking horrible on Game of Thrones. Like the most evil bitch. Oh my god, I'm in shock. I'm in shock.
Yeah, I'm sorry she even got another role after that and wasn't just typecast.
Because she was so compelling. Holy shit.
Are you ready for our next story?
I guess. I'm just still kind of digesting this news.
I know. Sorry. I didn't mean to like blow your mind this morning.
No, it's so important to know facts like that.
It is. Especially at the toast. Yeah. Like we live for facts like that.
We live for facts like that.
Our next story. Someone else is responding to being typecast in one way or another. Ryan Gosling responds to the criticism that he's too old to play Ken in Barbie. So Ryan Gosling heard Claudia on the toast. And he's clapping back at the trolls who have a problem with him being cast as Ken.
Not him calling me a troll. I'm giving like valid criticism.
I don't think trolls is his word, to be fair. So he did an interview with GQ this week and he said, I would say, you know, if people don't want to play with my Ken, there are many other Kens to play with. He said that he thinks this discourse is funny given that people didn't think about Ken before he was cast. But suddenly it's like, no, we've cared about Ken this whole time. No, you didn't. You never did. You never cared. Barbie never fucked with Ken. That's the point. He said, if you really ever cared about Ken, you would know that nobody cared about Ken. So your hypocrisy is exposed. This is why his story must be told.
Okay. Alternate headline to this story. Ryan Gosling is deeply unwell. What the fuck does that even mean?
I don't know if this is like a joke.
Question mark.
Question mark.
First of all, it's like not that deep. Ken's story needs to be told. This honestly sounds like a satire of what actors say, you know?
Yeah.
Like an SNL skit.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Read it again. Read it again.
He said, suddenly it's like, no, we cared about Ken this whole time. Like, because he said that he didn't think people cared who was going to play Ken before that. He said, no.
Well, maybe it wasn't a priority because we were all obviously like, who's going to play Barbie? Because like women are more interesting and it's the Barbie movie. So maybe, yeah, he wasn't like a top priority. But we just assumed they wouldn't fuck it up.
Yeah, he said, he believes no one cares about Ken. He admitted that he feels like that he's the character's representative. He said, quote, I care about this dude now. I'm like his representative. Ken couldn't show up to receive this award, so I'm here to accept it for him.
Oh, my God. He's really lost his fucking mind. I felt like, you know, I think one of the things everybody loves about Ryan Gosling is he's so not Hollywood. Like, he doesn't, you know, go out. We never see pictures of him and Eva Mendes. Like, he's so private. I feel like he has a really normal life and he doesn't become one of these like LA Hollywood actors with like their head so far up their own ass. But he kind of sounds like he's just like a part of the Hollywood machine. This is like next level stupid.
Or he's just like taking the parody of it all very seriously. Like, I feel like this whole movie is a parody and like, I don't know. He just went down, like in response to criticism, he's just like went down a clown's path. And it's a path, you know, it's a choice.
It is a choice. And I respect a choice being made, I just want to say.
Yeah. Instead of like him keeling over and being like, I am old, I am wrinkly.
No, here's the thing. What's so interesting is like, to me, they could not have cast a more perfect Barbie. Like, I don't know any woman in Hollywood who could do it as good as Margot Robbie. And she, in my mind, is not too old. But literally, I think her and Ryan Gosling are the same age.
Yeah.
They're like in the same generation, you know?
I feel like when they cast her, I didn't think it was the best choice.
No, I remember being like, duh, who's the Barbie of Hollywood?
I don't know.
Well, honestly, like maybe Sydney Sweeney now, but like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, actually,
we've been talking about this movie for years.
I know. And it's still like confounding because it's not out yet. No one knows what it's about. And they just like keep
By the way, they released another trailer.
Okay.
And it's what we thought. Like, she has to go to experience the real world to, like, be her best Barbie. Yeah, it's, like, similar to Elf. She gets, like, this challenge from Kate McKinnon. She's like, you can either keep wearing the heels or then gives her a Birkenstock or experience the real world.
Cringe, but okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I do think she goes to, like, Manhattan.
I like the premise of Elf. I just don't like that one.
She goes to Manhattan. Like, she gets arrested. Ken goes with her. Like, there's another trailer.
Okay, so it's Enchanted.
It's Enchanted.
That works for me. It's a proven formula.
It's not out yet. We still don't, like, know if this movie's going to be good, but I have to assume it's going to be good. Margot Robbie doesn't, like, do bad movies.
I don't know. She just did that other one that no one talked about, Babylon.
Which, you're right, David O. Russell, where, like Taylor Swift was in it for a second, right?
Brad Pitt. Everyone was in it.
Yeah. Why didn't nobody talk about that?
Because it was bad.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's not as good as Babel.
No, it's not. Mm-mm. Nothing is.
Are you ready for our next story? The aforementioned Sydney Sweeney is sat down with Sunday Today to talk about how her grandparents feel about her nude scenes on Euphoria.
You know, it's a good question.
Sydney Sweeney says her father and grandfather walked out when the family watched Euphoria.
Should hope so.
She said her family was a little shocked when they first saw her Euphoria scenes. In an upcoming interview with Sunday Today, she revealed that her dad and grandpa weren't properly prepared to see her on the gritty HBO show, which often features nudity and sexual content. In fact, she said the two of them actually walked out the first time they tried to watch it. She said that her mom had visited her on set a few times, so she knew the story. My dad didn't. I didn't prepare him at all, so he decided he was going to watch it without telling me, with his parents. She said, my dad and my grandpa turned it off and walked out. However, she added that her grandmother, who she describes as a big supporter of hers, wasn't as fazed by the content and didn't follow their lead. She said, she's a big fan of mine. I bring her all over the world to my different sets and I make her an extra. So she's like totally down with nude Sid.
Yeah. No, I mean, grandfather and father, like, absolutely not. And her family should have done a better job of making sure that they didn't watch it. Like, I know you've never even seen Euphoria.
No, I haven't. But, so I don't know. I know that it's like nude and stuff, but I don't know what her level of like participation is.
It's next level. There's literally, Jackie, a scene where she's on a carousel at like a carnival and she's like dry humping the carousel and she like has an orgasm in front of all these people. Like, that's not even the worst of it because she was fully clothed. There's another one where she's like fucking Nate in the bathroom and they literally like the camera's just like on both of her breasts. Like, it's insane. I mean,
that's crazy. No. But it's also like, and she should have told her dad and her grandpa.
Yeah. I do often think when, like, you know, starlets get, men and women, but it's always the women who are naked, when they get, like, famous and they're in, like, these sort of nude roles, like, how do they protect their, you know, peace with, like, their family and everything? And Euphoria is another level. It's, like, even, it's probably the most graphic show on TV when it comes to sex. Like, I think, actually, no, hands down, it is. It's not the most. It is.
I think now The Idol is going to usurp.
Which is the same creator.
Yeah.
The Idol is such an interesting show. There's been so much hoopla around it. The reviews are abysmal.
Yeah. It looks so graphic and pornographic and...
and disturbing. That's the thing about Euphoria. It's not only graphic. It's really... the characters are supposed to be teenagers, so it's just even more disturbing. The actors are not, but the characters, if you're, you know, buying into the show, these are literal teenagers. It's really dark. And that's that guy's thing, Sam Levinson. And it's really, like, it's disturbing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't watch. I don't think I'm going to watch. I mean, I'm not going to watch The Idol because I imagine it's disturbing. But even just, like, the still images, like, they just look...
disturbing.
Disturbing. But I think that's going to eclipse Euphoria, make Euphoria look like child's play.
Yeah, but I don't think The Idol is going to be as popular as Euphoria. That's the thing.
Interesting.
Like, Euphoria is, like, the number one show in the country. When it's on. And it's not coming back for like another year. And it's been off for a year.
Mm. Yeah, there's not much on right now.
No, and it's important that, like, you know, the young people who are watching Euphoria while this time is, you know, while they're off the air, that they watch, you know, more uplifting things, more SpongeBob. Educational things. Or maybe they go outside.
Cat Dog.
Cat Dog.
Rugrats.
Such a good show.
Rugrats is on Hulu, for whoever wants to know.
For Harry.
Yeah, because I was, like, looking for kids stuff because you set me up with my new TV and, like, Hulu was the only thing I was logged into. So I went to kids. They had, like, five shows and Rugrats was one of them.
How fabulous is that?
Yeah, so we started it from the beginning. It's, like, kind of crazy.
It is a crazy show. Like, really, that plot, you just really never know where it's going to go.
No, it's, like, it's, they're always being babysat by the grandpa who's always sleeping. And, like, there's an actual infant, like, running around in his diaper, who changes it.
So you're saying it's more so a show about neglect.
Yeah. And just like kids raising themselves.
Which is a powerful message.
But they also are learning lifelong skills. Friendship.
Right.
These things. No, adventure.
That's beautiful.
That's what I've surmised. Because before I watched 10 minutes of it the other day, I couldn't tell you what Rugrats was about, even though we watched it every day.
Yeah, like, what is it about? Like, I know SpongeBob is about, you know, a sponge who lives in a pineapple under the sea.
Yeah, and he's, like, just trying to make his way through the world. He has a crabby neighbor. He has his best friend. He has his job, and he's just living life.
Yeah, he's like a working-class guy.
Yeah, he's a working-class citizen doing his best and trying to keep it positive.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. But I couldn't tell you, really, the plot of Rugrats.
No, you're 100% right.
Maybe it's better that way.
Yeah, the mystery remains.
And Cat Dog...
so I think it's about like a cat and a dog who are conjoined at the hip and just getting through life as that.
What's the larger message? Like that.
I think the larger message is like coexistence, yeah, honestly.
Working together, putting our differences aside. I'm a cat, you're a dog.
And it's also just like, you know, getting through life with the cards that you were dealt. You know, I'm sure being attached to a dog as a cat and being attached to a cat as a dog isn't ideal. And we're all kind of given things in life that aren't ideal, but we persevere just like Cat Dog did.
So it's a story of perseverance.
I would say.
Claudia, that's beautiful.
Cat Dog.
Cat Dog, Cat song. Dog, Cat Diggity
Cat
Dog.
Cat Diggity Dog.
That's Mickey Mouse.
No, but the Cat Dog theme song, like, did slap.
Yeah, and what would you say is the theme of Mickey Mouse? Like, what is he trying to espouse? Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
I mean, honestly, I think Mickey Mouse Clubhouse really does set, like, an unrealistic standard for adulthood in children, because Mickey's life is like too good. It's like he always finds himself in these situations, but he always has the exact tool that he needs. You know, it's like, it's a little unrealistic. Sometimes you're going to be dealt a challenge and you don't have the tools to deal with it. There's not, you know, what's that thing called? His...
Oh, Toodles?
Yeah, like he just isn't always going to have all of that, you know?
Yeah, Oh, Toodles is kind of a crutch.
But I guess it's a show about teaching preparedness.
I think it's a show about problem solving.
Yeah.
And working with your friends, even though some of them are fucking dumb.
Beyond moronic.
And just like having to be like the one in the group who's always getting things done. Like it's a good lesson for like, you know, one day if you're planning a bachelorette party, like it's all going to fall on you and you're going to have to shepherd these girls through the trip. And you learned it from Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Yeah, it's kind of a story, like a modern bachelorette party story.
It actually is.
Yeah. Like, oh my God, Sarah's dehydrated. What do we have in the pack? We have liquid IV. Like, we have the tools to help.
Yeah, if that makes but sense. There's always the Mickey.
There's, Olivia's the Mickey.
Yeah, and you're the Sarah.
There's always, I'm so the Sarah. I'm the Mary, you're the Rhoda.
Are you ready for our next story?
If it's the next story, that's brought to you by ZocDoc.
Tis.
You're extremely unlikely to find quality medical advice in your group chat, but you can find it from a doctor on ZocDoc. So I think all of us are victims of having some sort of medical issue and trying to find a cause for your symptoms on TikTok, getting down a rabbit hole, then following questionable advice from so-called experts. You can avoid all the trauma of that when you go to ZocDoc. When someone is just exceptionally good at what they do, could be a waiter, a chef, a doctor, you know you're in good hands. So find the best doctor on ZocDoc. It's the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. And they treat almost every condition under the sun. So there's no more doctor roulette or scouring the internet for questionable reviews. With ZocDoc, you have a trusted guide to connect you to your favorite doctor that you just haven't met yet. So with ZocDoc, there are no alarms or surprises. You can choose from thousands of patient-reviewed doctors and specialists, browse doctor profiles, upload and verify with your health insurance information, and get the care you need. So whether you just moved and you don't have any doctors, or you have like a new issue that requires a new specialist, I'm always discovering new issues in my life, and like I have to go to like random doctors I've never had to go to before. ZocDoc is a haven for that. Go to ZocDoc.com/toast and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/toast, ZocDoc.com/toast. Today's episode is also brought to you by Honeylove. The reviews are in, and Honeylove came out on top for the best wedding day shapewear. With wedding season upon us, this is the ad you've been waiting for. Whether you are a bride, a guest, or looking for an everyday fit, Honeylove is your go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. You'll immediately feel and see the difference, and we have an exclusive listener we have an exclusive offer just for our listeners. Get 20% off your entire order when you go to honeylove.com/toast. That's honeylove.com/toast. I'm a shapewear expert. I've been wearing shapewear literally since I was like 8 going to bat mitzvahs, and I've been through such a journey when it comes to shapewear. Whether it's shapewear that doesn't fit, shapewear that does fit but doesn't let you breathe, shapewear that digs, shapewear that rolls down. I found Honeylove on literally, I think, Facebook 5 years ago, and it is my go-to for shapewear. And I've gotten so much feedback from toasters ever since we started working with Honeylove that have bought it for weddings or work conferences, and they say it's like, it's the real deal. I should have listened to you long ago. So their super power short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. It really is like a delicate balance. You want to be sucked in and smoothed out, but you don't want to like die of suffocation. Well, they get it at Honeylove. They also have bodysuits with 360-degree bonded compression that smooths your tummy and hips, built-in bust support without underwire. It's shapewear that's comfortable. You heard that right. Again, we have the best shapewear code for you. Treat yourself to the best shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/toast. That's 20% off when you go to honeylove.com/toast.
Thank you, Claude.
You're welcome.
Our next story, like, speak of the devil, because on Friday we were asking the question, where is Olivia Rodrigo?
Oh, and yeah.
Literally, as we're recording, this girl is posting teasers pointing toward a June 30th revival.
Yeah.
So Olivia Rodrigo seems to have her, some tricks up her sleeves. The driver's license hitmaker quietly dropped another hint that presumably points towards June 30th as a date to write down. So on Saturday, fans noticed that the Spotify canvas that shows up when you listen to Driver's License on the streaming platform has been updated. And in the clip art, it now has her expiration date for her license as June 30th, 2023. Also, her website released a cryptic countdown calendar that launched on Friday that also points towards the end of June for some new
things.
And
she posted like a sexy mirror pic, and in the back was a calendar with June 30th kind of circled.
So it looks like June 30th, like you're wondering where Olivia is. June 30th, you'll find out.
This is very interesting. One, you know me, I'm obsessed with this like whole love triangle. And she did release this like, you know, bombshell news like the next day after the Sabrina Carpenter thing. It might have even been the same day. Like,
yeah,
just interesting. Just interesting. Yeah. No?
I think interesting too.
And this is like a very highly anticipated second album. Like, I don't know, you know, the last time somebody's first album became as big as hers did. And there's a lot of pressure. And, you know, kind of harks back to this age-old conversation we've been having, like, about Olivia Rodrigo being a one-hit wonder, if you will. Like, I'm curious if this album will live up to the first.
Yeah, I imagine it is so much pressure. And that's what I was saying years ago when we had this one-hit wonder conversation. Because even when she was in her Sour era, obviously she had more than one hit at the time.
Yes.
But
yes.
If this album doesn't do what it needs to do, she will just always be remembered as the driver's license girl, hence a one-hit wonder. I think she's extremely talented and capable of churning out another work of art, and I think she'll live up to her own hype, but I imagine she's quaking.
No, it's like kind of horrible to like have had such success so early, and just that's always going to be your benchmark, you know? You always want to be doing better on the second, the third than you did the first, the second. So that's like that should be the normal growth and trajectory of a young starlet pop star. But to have historic, unprecedented success in your first album is kind of like a blessing and a curse.
100%.
I don't know how you live up to that hype. I mean, that first album is literally, I can't remember the last time like an entire nation knew every word to an entire album.
Yeah, but I also think like sometimes you get so hyped from something like, you might just be like right time, right place, or it's just like a song that like captivates the country. It's not like particularly good, but it just happens to like move everyone. And I think she really is that talented. So if she has that talent in her for the first album, then there's no reason why her second album won't be just as good.
No, you're right. Because like, Driver's License took over the world, but then the whole album did. Like the whole album was as good as Driver's License.
Driver's
maybe
License
better.
Took over the world, but it was an amazing song. It wasn't just like, you know, Old Town Road, that was like a gimmick.
Silly. You know, and then she like followed it up with an entire album of like bangers. Like, you're right. She has the talent. It's not a question of like whether she got lucky. Like those songs took off because they were good.
Yeah. Like it wasn't just luck and that she's going to have to try and duplicate. So it's just inside of her and she just needs to write how she feels.
She just needs to write how she feels. And I know she's been going through like a lot because there was like the success of the album. Then she had a boyfriend and I don't think they're together anymore. So she's been through things that she can write about.
Yeah. Even when she was like 12, she was writing about things like getting ice cream at the same place as Sabrina and wrote a whole song about that. And it was a good one.
It was a really good one
like,
about
Billy
Joel.
Do you get deja vu from going to the ice cream? No.
Literally.
No, I don't.
No, I can get ice cream as many times as possible and it's always going to feel like a new experience.
There's always a new flavor.
There's always a new flavor. There's always a new ice cream shop. I actually, on Friday night, me and Ben went out for dinner and then I got gelato, which I'm more of like a, if there's two ice cream places next to each other, one of them is like American ice cream.
Like a creamery.
And one of them is a gelato. Like I will always go American. That's just me. I'm a proud American.
I don't think anyone would have thought otherwise from you.
But I had delicious gelato on Friday night. Like it was delicious.
And what flavor did you get?
One thing about me, like I'm consistent. I'm a creature of habit. So guess what flavor I got?
Cookies and cream.
Yes, ma'am.
Me too. That's also my go-to. It's just like foolproof.
It's the superior flavor. And anybody who tells you otherwise is lying and stupid and ugly.
Like I like to try like, oh, I'll try the birthday cake, but I know I'm not ordering it.
You know what? If I am, that's so funny that you say that, because if I am going to order another flavor, it's going to be birthday cake. That's like my runner up.
It's too much. Like the sample size, like when they just put a little on a spoon for you, is like enough of it.
It's really sugary and sweet. You're right. Like it's overwhelming. And an ordinary woman cannot take it on. I can.
You're no ordinary woman.
What do you think? Like when you think of the best birthday cake ice cream, what do you think of?
Cold Stone.
No. Mine's really niche.
Was it the place by my house?
No. No, that, no offense. That place sucks.
No, you're wrong for that.
Okay, let me give you like another clue. It's not a chain. It's like
remember
a one-off.
When Zach, we asked him to heat up, like to yeah. get us ice cream from the freezer. We went and got ice cream that day. We got like blue ice cream.
Extras. We got extras for the freezer.
Yeah. So then that night we wanted it. So we were like, can you just get it from the freezer? And so he took it upon himself to like warm it up a little.
To plate it. He put it in a bowl. Like it comes in a tub. Leave it in the tub.
And it was soup. And so then he's like, he's still fidgeting in the kitchen, like trying to get it to refreeze.
Like 5 minutes later, we're like, where are you? And he comes back with a blue mouth. Because he literally melted our ice cream. He ruined it. And then while he was waiting, he like ate the rest.
And he was like putting it in the freezer to try to get it to refreeze. And it's like, nobody even asked you to warm it up. Like, I can wait 5 minutes while it gets to the right temperature.
We were so mad.
He did that. Oh, he did that with my McFlurry the other day.
Heated it up?
Yeah, well, at first, because McFlurries are not like meant to go in the freezer because they're supposed to be like. So I was waiting for it to, but I couldn't even get the spoon out. So I was like, you know what? You could heat it up. What, it came back?
How long did he heat it up for?
I don't know how long he heated it up for, but it came back with like a paper towel wrapped around it.
Ooh.
And like I heard some crashes in the kitchen.
So it was like a tea.
No, I heard crashes in the kitchen because I guess he tried to pull the spoon out, which I didn't ask. Like I just wanted it like a little bit softer. Just like it's, he's just doing the most on his ice cream.
Okay,
service.
Just to finish my thought, the best birthday cake ice cream I've ever had is from Gabelle's. That roadside shack near the place where we went to camp. Like it was so good.
But
like,
I also
roadside ice cream that has like a picnic table that also serves burgers, like very like mom and pops, like chocolate shop from the 50s. Those places have the best ice cream hands down in America.
So true, but I also think you're hopped up on the vibes.
No, I wasn't.
Like, our vibes were so high. We were, like, vibrating at lightning speed. Like, any ice cream would have been euphoric.
No.
Those were the days.
No.
Okay. Agree to disagree?
Okay.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
Yeah. That happened so fast.
It did. It did and didn't, because it's been an hour. Right.
Yeah, right.
And it's not really a story, just, like, something that's a little fucked up.
Okay.
YouTube is playing 3-minute long advertisements before first aid videos, and they've already been linked to at least one death.
By the way, I saw them respond. I saw people complaining about this on Twitter, and then like YouTube support responded and was like basically telling people to go fuck themselves.
After finding someone unconscious and calling an emergency service, a worried bystander might turn to YouTube for a reminder on how to perform CPR. But the site is running advertisements before videos showing how to perform the life-saving intervention. The ads are up to 3 minutes long, and some are only skippable after 30 seconds. DailyMail.com found advertisements for grocery stores and shoes delaying first aid videos made by hospital systems, paramedics, and CPR trainers. Advertisements can be personalized depending on the video consumed by users. Who really gives a shit what you're about to watch.
Oh, I'm sorry. And then, by the way, when YouTube responded to the person on Twitter being like, I tried to, like, watch a CPR video and there was this ad and it feels really fucked up. They were like, well, if you sign up for YouTube Premium, you won't get any ads. Stop. They were, like, trying to sell their subscription.
Well, a woman
that was their response.
A woman in Germany died earlier this year after her CPR was delayed by her helper having to sit through 18 seconds of advertisements on the platform. Like, I can understand.
I mean, there's no way of knowing that she wouldn't have died anyway, but still.
But I can understand why, like, it might have not been top of mind for YouTube to realize, like, oh, we shouldn't have advertisements on, like, emergency service videos. Like, I never thought of it. But, like, now that we've established it, like, fucking take them down.
Yeah, like verified hospitals, medical services who have their channels and make like sort of preventative videos, they should not be subject to any sort of ad revenue. And like, you're right, it might not have been something that they thought of immediately, but like now that people are talking about it, they should act immediately.
Yeah, no, and it's not even about like, oh, you shouldn't make money on the CPR. It's really just about the time. Like,
yeah,
if you want to put like
an urgency,
you want to put a post-roll video ad, go ahead.
But go for it.
Those seconds are crucial.
A pre-roll or a mid-roll is not cool.
Mid-roll.
It's like, or they'll show up and be like, hi, I'm gonna teach you how to do CPR today. So the first step is ad. Like, that's fucked up.
Yeah. So not I just thought that was fucked up.
Not cool. No, that is fucked up. And I had seen their response being like, check out YouTube Premium for $15 a month. I was cackling. It's like not funny, but the way that they're handling this is like so poor.
Yeah, I feel like they'll eventually get it right. You know, it's really not that hard task.
the thing with YouTube, companies like YouTube, similar to like Google, they're so ubiquitous. It's not like you're going to go to Vimeo now and be like, how to do CPR. Like, YouTube is just so integrated into our lives. Like, you don't even realize, like, when you just search for a video, you're always going to find YouTube. It's like, they don't, like, this isn't going to stop user behaviors. Like, they're just too big.
Yeah. So, which is why they could just do us a solid.
Right. But they're just like a company that's like uncancelable almost. Like, they're too baked into our everyday.
No, I agree. But like, it doesn't change their bottom line if, like, how many videos are there? Even if it's 1,000 videos. Yeah. 1,000 videos don't have an ad.
No, but, like, one thing. I'm the type of person, like, if I can't figure out how to do something, like, I am going to Google it.
Like, oh, my God, yeah. Every, like, always. Stroller car seat, like, how to. They actually, there are a lot of brands that make really good videos, like.
They should. I tried to fucking put Harry in a fucking high chair at a restaurant. I swear to God, I needed an engineering degree. It was so complicated. Then it turned out that it was broken, so, like, it wasn't me.
Yeah, there was something weird.
Similarly, like, I'm literally, my IT department, we're just on YouTube. Like, every new piece of equipment that we get for the toast or an issue I'm having with a microphone or a recording device, I love those guys. Those guys who put together, like, these kind of, like, geeky nerds who have, like, these channels being like, here's how to sync your camcorder and your Rodecaster. That, I'm their number one fan. I love those videos.
Yeah, just, like, sometimes they just take too long, you know?
Yeah, yeah, of course, of course.
Like, or it's like, how do I get GarageBand to do this? And it's like a whole video, an hour-long video about GarageBand. And it's like,
no, you're not looking in the right places, because I find that shit in 30 seconds.
No, I've struggled. And they also, like, on the one hand, they go too slow. You know, it's like, oh, I know how to open my computer and turn it on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And, like, open up GarageBand. That's clearly where I'm at already.
Yeah.
No, that's fair. That's such a fair critique.
But still, all to the good. People helping each other.
Helping others.
Helping others is key. And that's what we learned from Rugrats.
From the Fast Five today. From Rugrats, yeah, and the Fast Five. Let's do a little TV recap. Let's do Jersey. I'm really curious to get your thoughts. And the Jersey recap and then the just TV recap in general is brought to you by Go Macro. In the face of adversity and a fight for survival against cancer, a mother and daughter took their love to the kitchen, and Go Macro was born. Now they are spreading the power of a balanced, plant-based lifestyle across the country with Go Macro. So the Go Macro bars are available in 17 full-size mouthwatering flavors and 5 kids flavors. All Go Macro products are certified organic, vegan, gluten-free, kosher, non-GMO, clean, and soy-free. They're made from a combination of plant-based ingredients that serve as a healthy and delicious way to keep you fueled throughout the day. So if you have a food allergy or a dietary restriction, Go Macro also offers 3 delicious nut-free flavors, including oatmeal chocolate chip, maple sea salt, and sunflower butter plus chocolate. So the Go Macro bars are perfect for anyone in terms of dietary restrictions, and they're also just a great thing to have in the house, in your bag. They keep you full. They're really delicious. I like that they get really creative with their flavors, because I think a lot of these bars start to kind of taste the same. But Go Macro being organic and vegan and all this stuff is, you know, gives you a peace of mind knowing that it's good. They have kids flavors, so you can feed your kids knowing that they're delicious and good and good for you. And we have a code, of course we do, but they also have a new flavor, mint chocolate chip. So it's crisp mint meets creamy chocolate for a cool endeavor that refreshes and soothes the soul. The mint chocolate chip bar combines 11 grams of plant-based protein with organic cashew butter and a touch of peppermint for the chillest companion wherever you go. Get your hands on this delicious new flavor by going to gomacro.com using promo code TOAST for 30% off plus free shipping on all orders of over $50. That's gomacro, gomacro.com, promo code TOAST. For 30% off plus free shipping.
Great. Thank you so much, Turdy Lou. I love Go Macro.
You're welcome.
Okay, so Real Houses of New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
I'm in Ireland, so I'm pretty much like halfway through the season. I'm starting to
By the way, how forlorn is that house? It's like not glamorous.
Oh, I like it. But like, just because I like it. And that would be like a fun trip. That's like my vibe these days, you know?
But like, the house looks like haunted. Like, it's like bare and like barren.
No, I think it's nice.
Okay.
It didn't feel that way to me. What's funny to me is like when they take, they're in, they go all the way to Ireland, they get all dressed up and they take like a bus just to go to a dinner where they have like salmon and wine and then go home. And it's like, you can do that in New Jersey. I've actually never been.
Was that like the first night they got there?
No, it was like one of the middle nights of the trip. But I've actually never been someone who like thinks like that. Like, cause you know, I just want to do like the same things that I like to do just in other countries. But, like, you came all this way. But then the next day they did do that, like, hen party and they chased around the chickens and stuff. And so that seemed more authentic.
I just, like, don't understand why they chose Ireland. Like, I know Dolores' man is Irish, but, like, isn't this trip, like, really for Teresa's bachelorette? Like, it makes no sense.
No, it's so random, but I don't dislike it.
No, me neither. I loved when the OC Housewives went to Dublin. Like, I love when they do something different.
And I love, like, a fish out of water situation because they're so Italian. They're, like, so... like,
and they're always going to, like, Jamaica, Dominican Republic, like, classic vacation destinations for, like, the Eastern coast.
Yeah, but I liked the setting. You're not going to get me to knock it.
No, I agree. I like that fish out of water, like, when the New York Housewives went to Morocco. Like, something so different.
Yeah, and we get to see something, like, different and interesting. And
culture shocky.
And the fact that they're staying at a castle, not, like, a hotel in town. Like, yeah. It's nice.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. That's fair.
So overall...
So give me your takes, like, from start, like, the new girls, give me everything.
Oh my God, the new girls are so hard to keep separate, and, like, I really wasn't even giving any of them the time of day until, like, a few episodes in when I established, like, my alliances. I really like Rachel Fuda, like, really me great too. Head on her shoulders. I can't believe that she, like, started filming this season with a three-month-old, like, and she's just...
She's so, like, stunning and
she's
perfect.
So, like, stunning, put together, snatchler, like, I literally was in shock. I think her family is just so nice, and I like her rationale and her way about her. Like, and I also like
she has, like, a good head on her shoulders.
And I like that, like, her inclinations make her gravitate towards Margaret and Melissa because those are my people. Like, they are team rational, and yep. Teresa and Jennifer, and bringing in Danielle, they are team, like, just, like, crazy emotional, like, no sense is made. Sometimes I understand where they're coming from and, like, why their emotions are so high about stuff, but Margaret and Melissa just always fucking make sense, you know?
I know. And to be honest, like, I could never not be on that side of the couch. Like, I am so Margaret, Melissa.
And Jackie, too.
And, okay, but by the way, like, Jackie did not have a good season. I know she's not even a housewife, but, like, she really pissed me off. Like, when she came in so hot, I don't even like Danielle, but, like, when she just came in hot, like, being so rude, and, like, it was clear that, like, Jackie had just gotten demoted, and then this new girl comes in and has, like, a higher position on the show than Jackie. And, like, Jackie was clearly just, like, jealous and bitter. And that was – she was being so mean, girl, for no reason. And I don't even like Danielle.
Yeah, for no reason. It was just, like, weird.
They didn't even know each other. And she was like, would you pull your shorts out of the hamper? Like, don't be fucking rude.
So what does that mean? Did they look dirty?
I think that her shorts were wrinkly.
But they're jean shorts.
No, it was – like, she was just looking – She didn't even have a chance to speak to her. And then when she was, like, at Dolores' house to, I think it was to Rachel, being like, you're not even looking at me in the eyes right now. She's just, like, so insecure about her demotion that she's lashing out to, like, make a statement, be like, look, Bravo, you shouldn't have fired me. And she's taking it out on these two new girls. And it's not fair.
Yeah, no, she's irrelevant. And the rest of the season, she's just, like, there as, like, a friend and a sounding board. And she, like, contributes nothing to the show except, like, Evan obviously is a big part of the husband's crew, and that's why I'm glad that they, like, keep everyone in the fold, because we need all the husbands. And, like, I love, like, they go have a party at Melissa's house and they don't even need to invite other people. It's enough people. It's like 20 people and you have a party.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think, like, Evan is a great part. And what's so funny is, like, at the end of last season, I had so come around on Jackie. I was, like, really didn't agree with her being demoted. Like, I think she really laid it all out. I had a full 180 on her, and my God, she just came in, like, so wenchy.
Yeah.
With, like, jealousy and insecurity. I didn't like that. Also, the whole conversation about Rachel Fuda's nose is probably, like, the rudest and most fucked up thing. And, like, the fact that, like, nobody stopped. What's wrong with her nose?
They just, like, throw stuff around. And also because, like, Rachel Fuda's a beautiful girl. And, like,
yeah,
you really couldn't insult her looks if you tried.
No, and she has, like, she has it all going on. She's got, like, a big house, the family, the looks. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I hate Danielle.
No, I hate her. The beginning, first of all, I thought all the new girls' names were Jennifer and they were all the same to me.
That's so crazy because, Jackie, I had the same,
like,
experience.
I literally was looking for Jennifer Fuda on Instagram and I was like, oh, I guess she doesn't have IG.
That's funny.
Yeah, so, and they just call everyone Jen because, like, Jennifer Aiden is Jen Fessler. And so I was like, Jen.
Jen.
So I didn't even, like, have a care in the world between Danielle and Rachel, and I really wasn't, like, trying to get invested in who I care about more. But then the chips fell where they may, and Rachel, you know, came to the correct conclusions. And also, Danielle is just, like, she's kind of a caricature of a New Jersey housewife. Like, she is too much, and she talks such a big talk in her confessionals. Like, she literally acts like she is Tony Soprano. And then every time she gets into a confrontation with the girl, she cries and she walks away. And it's just about, like, her brother. It's not even about, like, girl and Margaret's arsenal. And she can't handle that conversation, but she's the one you don't want to mess with. Like, I think I'll be okay.
So I was like, wait, what episode are you on?
Ireland.
Okay, I need to just spoil something for you, if that's okay.
Sure.
So her whole gripe, they talk literally nonstop until the finale about Danielle being so hurt that she said something to Rachel and Rachel told Margaret. And Margaret and Rachel was like, I wasn't doing this as gossip. I was quite literally just telling a friend what people were saying about her. Like, that's it. Jackie, she doesn't stop talking about it till the finale. And in the finale, Danielle is the one who sits down Melissa Gorga and is like, this is what's being said about you. I just wanted to tell you about, like, this cheating allegation that's going around about you. So she literally does the same exact thing in the final episode that she's mad at Rachel Fuda for the whole season. She just tells Melissa something she heard, you know, in the under the guise of, like, you know, wanting to be there for her and look out for her. It's so hypocritical.
No, it's so hypocritical. And also, like, Jennifer Aydin, who I actually has my sympathy and I do like. Like, I feel like oftentimes she's wrong in arguments and, like, she gets too emotional and clearly everyone, like, has an issue with her. But I do like her, and I feel like she doesn't do a good job of explaining to Margaret, like, yes, I forgave you and your apology was heartfelt in that moment. But there have been aftershocks. Like, yeah. All the time since that happened, and it makes me mad again. Like, I feel like she just needs to say that once. Like, yes, I forgave you, but, like, now my daughter wants to be a love therapist. And, like, and I would understand that, hearing that and being like, fucking Margaret, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. But, like, I also feel like it's really important. And she doesn't do a terrible job at this. But, like, Margaret is to blame, sure. But, like, so is the man who cheated, you know?
Oh, of course. No, but the thing is, it's... there's two things here. One, like, the cheating, which Jennifer, like, had made peace with at the time. It's about her kids, and clearly her kids are suffering. But also, it's, like, the fact that their home life in general, it's not so peachy right now. So all compounded, it's not good. And, like, Margaret played a small role in that. And I know Margaret feels bad, because when she apologized at that coffee shop last season, like,
it was real.
She was seriously regretful and remorseful for what she did. So, but I think that, and I understand wanting to move forward, we can't always bring up the past, but I think Jennifer doesn't do a good job of explaining, like, it still affects her every single day.
She's not a good communicator. She just, like, screams and yells and gets drunk.
But then Jennifer goes and shares a rumor that Melissa had an affair, and now nobody's going to feel sorry for her ever again, because that is literally exactly what Margaret did to her.
No, it's literally the same thing that happened between, like, Teresa and Jackie. Like, Teresa brought up this Jackie cheating thing, like, and she, under the guise of being like, I have funny hair, I didn't say anything. And then the analogy, it's like, Teresa and Jennifer are just immune to logic, and it's so frustrating to argue with people like that.
Yeah.
And, like, Danielle came on the show and she was like, you know what, I'm going up Teresa's ass. Like, that was clearly her MO. I think she's been on reality TV before.
It's,
like,
a safe place to go.
This is her dream. She saw it work out for Jen.
What show was she on?
True Life, I'm a Staten Island girl or something. Okay. Like, she wants to be a star.
Okay.
And you see that, like, with the way she dresses her kids, also extra. That is her attempt at being a star. And I think she wants to stay on the show for a decent amount of time. And she saw how it worked out for Jen Aydin, just, like, immediately beelining for Teresa's butthole. And that's what she's doing. And I just hate people like that who don't, like, act on how they truly feel or, like, what they think is right. They just, like, want to be on a side.
Yeah, but I also can appreciate someone coming in being like, I have an established relationship with Teresa, so I'll, or Melissa, because I think Rachel Fuda somehow knew Melissa, or she knew Team Logic for some reason. And so you're, like, inclined to believe them, but, like, you're open to all eventualities, you know? But
I think Rachel Fuda had an amazing first season.
I agree. I'm really enjoying her and her husband. What made me crack up is they waxed her husband at Melissa's house. And the whole next day, everyone was like, are you okay? Are you okay? Like, people were worried about him. It's like, women do that every day in much more painful places.
Yeah.
And I don't have, like, a team checking in.
What's your thoughts? By the way, Dolores is, like, so interestingly, like, not on a side. And that's because she has the brain of Team Logic, but the history with Team Not Logic.
And I love that for her.
Yeah, and she's kind of, like, stayed out of it. But what's your thoughts on the Frank of it all?
Okay, Dolores is 100% right. Like, 100%. She gave Frank everything for all of these years. She, like, when she was saying how the girls, they used to like make fun of her relationship with David because he wasn't there for her and like, what's the future and this and that. And like, now she has that relationship and now they're like, but what about Frank? When it's like, literally, when she was with David, like Frank was coming around all the time and they're like, but where's David? So it's like, shut up. You guys said that you wanted this for me the entire time. I understand that Frank is upset, but it is Dolores's turn in life. Like she...
No, and Paul's not wrong.
Paul's not wrong. Dolores isn't wrong.
Wanting all of Dolores.
It's sad because like we love Frank and everybody loves Frank and Frank is hurt, but
Frank is the star of the show.
But like, this is the first time in Frank's life, like where he can't have his cake and eat it too. But like, typically for regular people, you can't have your cake and eat it too. So, you know, his good fortune ran out. I'm sorry, but it's Dolores' turn, and she's right. I think that like Brittany should be more involved in like cast stuff, just so that Frank can come around more. But like,
yeah.
What Paul is asking for is not crazy at all.
No, not at all.
But, and it's but like Dolores doesn't even, it's not even like Dolores misses Frank. Like, you know?
No, I know.
She's not even.
It's not like Paul's asking her to do it and she's like, no.
She's not broken up about it.
No, she wants like a full life. She finally has a boyfriend who like wants her completely and she doesn't need the crutch of Frank to show up at events with her.
Yeah. So as a Frankophile, of course, I want only what's best for him.
No, it just makes it more difficult now because of the show.
Yeah, but I think that the way that they're doing it is going to be fine because Frank is like a guy friend. And then even they had that like couples night and Brittany and Frank were there. Like, and Brittany's friends with Jennifer Fuda. So I don't need her to be full time, but just like when there's events, Frank and Brittany should be there. And that works for me.
Yeah. So it's been a good season. I mean, we both started the reunion. Shit is so bad between Melissa and Teresa. And like now everyone's like, there's like pretty much a general consensus from the fandom that Melissa's going to be let go and fired.
I don't think she will be. Like this is now we're back to like 10 years ago. The whole cycle starts again of like them all fighting. My thing about Melissa and Teresa, obviously I'm more team Melissa. I think like Teresa, even when she recaps her conversation that we saw, she'll recap that conversation to someone else. I'm like, you missed like the actual points of the conversation. You just like heard when someone said fuck you, but like what were they actually saying?
No, completely. Her sense of reality is so distorted.
Right. So it's like, I'm not going to take your word for every other thing that you say happened, but okay. But my question mark is Louis. I can't get a read on him. I don't know what his intentions are because sometimes he's the peacemaker. Sometimes he is so fucking rude to Teresa, like not letting her speak, shutting her down, making her like listen to everyone. And, and then other times he's, you know, gassing her up and enabling her and making her the worst version of herself. Like, what is he trying? What position is he trying to spin for her? No, but then every now and then
he's like a true voice of reason. It's so weird.
Yeah, no, like with Margaret, like anytime he has so much respect for Margaret and he's like, Teresa, listen to her. But then he like flips when it's about something else. But even when he was talking to like Joe and Melissa, he was like weirdly putting Teresa down. But then when he's alone with Teresa, he gasses her up. And then so she goes off on Joe and Melissa. And then Louis's like, whoa.
Right. No. He has like multiple personalities. He's like psychotic.
I can't understand him and his motives.
Right. And I think that means his motives are not good.
Yeah, no, there's something nefarious there, but I can't identify it. I can't say what he's trying to do with her. But I imagine like for her friends, especially for like Joe and Melissa, it's like, what the fuck is this guy doing?
Scary.
Yeah. Scary because he's also like nice to them.
No, he's psychotic. Like that's how a serial killer acts. Like how do you think they lure people to their houses? Like they're nice.
Like what is he trying to like, what is his end game for Teresa and her relationships? I do not know.
No, I don't know. It's fucking weird.
And like the way that they all just talk about therapy all the time, like it's really a bad endorsement for therapy.
That's funny.
Like seriously, the worst, most dysfunctional couples are in therapy telling all the good couples that they have to go to therapy.
What to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny. Okay, so that's our show. We'll keep you abreast. I know you're going to keep watching that. Oh, Love and Death, really quick. I mean, I only watched two episodes. New Max show starring Elizabeth Olsen and Landry from Friday Night Lights.
Oh, you'll follow him till the ends of the earth.
Whose real name, Jackie, I refuse to learn, and I don't want to learn it. It's apparently based on a true story, but I haven't been able to Google it yet because I don't want to find out how it ends. But it's about like all these couples living in like the 70s or 80s in Texas, like this conservative town, like the church is their life. And two of the couples, like one of them starts to have an affair with the other. And I don't know how it goes sour, but like it clearly does. But it's a very good show. Like Elizabeth Olsen's an amazing actress and her character's like cute as a button. And Landry is just kind of this like oaf who like finds himself having an affair with like a much more beautiful woman. And I don't know where it goes, but like somebody ends up getting murdered and I don't know who it is. And the whole time I think you're supposed to like be figuring it out who gets murdered, who's the murderer.
Oh, I'll watch.
Yeah, no, I think you'll like it. It's also just like really kind of beautifully done the way they like paint like this 70s time in Texas. It's like, it's adorable.
It's like aesthetically pleasing.
Oh, and your favorite girl is in there. Like Elizabeth Olsen's kind of like confidant and best friend is the girl from Don't Trust the Bee.
Kristen Ritter.
Kristen Ritter. Oh my God. Ben favorite. Was like, what's her name? I couldn't remember. She doesn't have like a starring role, but I love to see her out here like, you know, getting booked and being busy.
Also, she's one of those people. It's like if she signs on for something, it's a good show.
Yeah, she has like a high bar.
She's a good picker, or she just has good, I don't know, luck.
It's only seven episodes.
But it will get canceled once I like it.
But I think it's a one season kind of thing. It tells the true story and it's over afterwards.
That's a safe venture for me.
I think you would like it. I so far, I'm real. Ben is loving it.
Okay, great. I'm influenced.
That's our show. Tomorrow we are in studio with Taylor's Trekker, so make sure you catch that. And we love you dearly. Thanks so much for listening to the Toast the Millennium Morning Show, where we love the best stories and into every Monday, Friday, and YouTube. So watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe to this video. Thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So it's Spotify, News, Public Radio, Radio, Cast Box, all the places. If it's a podcast, it's totally my star. Be a bit of beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Have an amazing day. Happy Monday. Don't forget to rise and grind. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah. Love you. Bye.